At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Here today, and somewhat warm and ready to go. Some of us, there's people visiting here today. We're glad that you're here. Glad Marcus is back from Spain. One piece. Enjoyed your time over there, and brought your sister and brother over there as well. And good to have you back. And anybody else who has not been with us for a while, we're glad to have you back. As Kenny was talking about gifts, I thought of all week I've been trying to figure out how to start this sermon, and Kenny gave it to me. We like to go to the Worthington Farmers Market from time to time in the summer, and we take the dog, and she walks around. She does pretty good with all of the food, and she would never be a hospital dog because she or her owner cannot pass food without looking and getting attention. But Hattie does pretty well as we walk through there. And this one day we got clear around to one of these little parking lots, and there was a table there, and a lady had a tent, and she had these dog treats that she made. And she did the right thing. She said, can your dog have one of these? I said, sure. We reached it down, gave it to Hattie, and Hattie spit it out. And the funny thing about it was the look on Diane and mine's face, because we were embarrassed. We were embarrassed because this lady, here's her wares that she was selling in the market, and Hattie just spit it right out. And we started apologizing, and I don't know why we were doing that, but we were apologizing because we were embarrassed. And so she says, well, I have another one. Would you like to try this one? And I'm like, I don't think so. She goes, it's different. So we handed it down, and Hattie chomped it up and enjoyed it. But I understand that gift thing. And it was one of those things. I told Diane, I said, I felt like a parent, and it had to, you know, and my child had just refused a gift from somebody who was really trying to do something really nice. And yes, we did buy a packet of the other treats. So, a couple weeks ago, as you know, I had the heel surgery and all of that went on, and still been doing physical therapy. I got my 12 done, and I tell everybody I failed it because I got 6 more, and then I failed it again, and I have 6 more. But the problem is it's healing, but it's weak. Like if I walk on the side of the hill, Angie, I saw, walked up our grassy hill the other day to deliver some stuff, but if I walk that or anything uneven, it doesn't hurt, but it's weak. So during physical therapy, this lesson kind of comes out of some thoughts I had during that. I was sitting on the table, I had my shoe off, and I have a size 14 foot, and it's sticking up there, and the therapist takes my foot, and she tells me to relax. Well, I mean, most of you know me. I don't know exactly what that means. And so I tried to just let it hang there. But it's your foot. It's attached. And so I felt like I wasn't relaxing, but I didn't know how to relax it, and I didn't know what to do with it. So she moved it around, and she was trying to stretch it to different places. And she tried to raise it up. I was going to get a video of this, but she wouldn't do it. And I invited her here today, but she didn't do that either. But as she would push it forward toward me, bending that heel and that Achilles toward me, it would hurt awfully. And she says, let me do it. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, you need to relax your foot and let me do it. Let me be in control. And as I felt like, I tried to relax the best that I could figure out how to do it. And when she would push it toward me, it didn't hurt. I wasn't fighting her. I wasn't putting pressure against her as she was trying to stretch that Achilles. And I told her after I sat there with ice a little later, I told her, I said, there's a sermon in all this. And she goes, how so? And I said, by letting God do it, by us resting, relaxing, and letting God take the lead. And so she said, huh. So she's asked me a couple times if I'd given it yet. So I told her I was doing it, and I was hoping that she would be here, but she's not. But I wanted to go into that, and of course the verse you think about is, come to me, all who are weary and labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. And as you think about it, and we think about loving God and sharing Jesus and serving others, as we think about all of that as our mission and our goal in life, we need to think, as we think about these verses, It makes you wonder how we can rest in Jesus, how we can rest in Christ. And as I reviewed some of this history behind those verses, I found in Matthew chapter 23, I found a verse that Jesus was trying to help them understand that his burden, his law, his word was not burdensome, but people had made it so. Have you ever seen that in life, where something seems to be pretty easy, but we make it so complicated that it can't be understood? Calculus, maybe? Just different things that in life that seems to be easy, seems to be something that could be done easily, and we make it so complicated that it can't be done. Jesus said Matthew chapter 23, it says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy and cumbersome loads, they put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. The fact that he mentions here that they sit in Moses' seat is that they place themselves above everybody else. And they take these things that God intended to draw people to him and bring them to salvation. They turn these things into laws and burdens that were too cumbersome to deal with. I found a quote that said he was speaking about the way they had hidden the true meaning of the Old Testament law with all the religious rules and regulations that these religious externalists, had instituted as a way to God, to true spirituality, and as a way to receive God's blessing in life. They had codified the Mosaic law into 365 prohibitions and 250 commandments. And can you imagine how frustrating that must have been to Jesus to see his law of love, his law of courage and compassion turned into commandments and prohibitions? I can't even imagine the tax law. I know we have several tax people here. Their time is here, and they love it. But I can't even imagine the tax law, I assume, was at one point was to benefit us and to help us to give back to the country, but also use our stuff wisely. But it has turned into so thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of just laws and regulations. And sometimes that's what happens in the gospel. That's what happens in churches. That's what happens in our society. Something that was meant for good, something that was meant to bring us to God, turns us away from it because it's burdensome. And there's no way we can do all the things that are pressed upon us from the law. So Jesus has this invitation that he brings before us. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, all. First he says, come. When I say come to Hattie, most of the time she comes. But when I say come, that's an invitation. That's an appeal for me that I want you to see something. I want you to come do or be something. And so Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And this verse is for believers and for non-believers. For believers, he wants us to be committed disciples and turn our lives completely over to him. Not just partially, not just on Sundays, not just every other Sunday when I choose to attend, but every day of the week. He wants us to be dedicated and turn our lives over completely to him. But he also reaches out to the non-believers. If we look in Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 on, a little farther in the chapter where we're at, or above where we're at, it says, then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of the miracles had been performed because they were not repentant. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable in Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted into the heavens? No. You will go down to Hades. For if the miracles were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, they would have remained to this day. But I tell you, that'll be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. They saw what Jesus did. They saw what he did, and they were trying to be a part of that, but they didn't believe it. And therefore, they were not believers. So God was reaching out to them in a very personal way. He was saying, come to me, I will change that. Christianity is an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a call to a program, to a system, to a religion, or to a church, and certainly not to a disciple or some human leader. There are all kinds of Christian leaders and other religious leaders vying for our attention, wanting us to worship them, bow down to them, to lift them up. There are a lot of awesome people in my life who have mentored me and helped me. But I don't strive to be like those people. I strive to be like the Christ that they were trying to be like. And most of those people that I was blessed to have mentor me would say that and point that out. There were others. But most of them tried very hard to point us to Jesus. So in this pledge, come unto me, Jesus says, I will give you rest. What is rest? Most of you would like to know. Most all of us would like to know what truly is rest. Rest is assurance. Rest is a cease from labor. Rest is a refreshing of the soul. But the interesting thing about Jesus, because of his relationship with his Father, even in the storms of his life, he was at rest. Think about when he was in the boat, asleep, when the storm was raging. Think about in the garden, when death was near for him. Think about all the different times that Jesus was at peace, at rest. It was because of his relationship with his Father. We can have that same rest. I've said this before, and I'm not going to say the different names today because I always forget some, but I think about the different people who have been slammed with illness, divorce, hard times, and other awful, awful things in our congregation, and I think about their response because of their faith. How they stood strong, how they were at peace, the most of them. It was because they had a relationship with Christ. They knew what was ahead for them. And the Christian faith has come to identify that inner centeredness on God as the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about that a whole lot, the Holy Spirit, and maybe in this new year we will. But the Holy Spirit helps us to be strong and to keep us aware and awake. The instruction was to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The instruction is to take a yoke. And if you look at the yoke and being strapped to one of those wooden yokes that they used to use and still use in some farming today, you realize that you are strapped unwillingly to do work that you probably were not ready or wanted to do, but that's what was the purpose of it. But in this case, Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. And this is the part where I want us to spend a couple minutes, because discipleship, learning from Jesus, is something that we do by inquiry, we use by use and practice to acquire the habit of being like him. It's hard to look at discipleship or Christianity as a habit, but it's something, a way of life. It's a way that we need to come to know. Because Jesus says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he says, when he says, take my yoke upon you, it's the same language that is used when he says to take up your cross and follow me daily. It's the same language. So we need to learn, and it's a journey of life and change. There are four verses, and maybe you should write these down, or you can look at them up here. Looks like it got redesigned. But as I read these, it's all about learning from Jesus. It's all about learning from God and discipling yourself, or being discipled. The first one is from Deuteronomy chapter 17. It says, when he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the Levitical priest. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully the words of this law and these decrees, and not to consider himself better than his fellow Israelites and turn from the law to the right or to the left, then he and his descendants will reign long time over this kingdom in Israel. What he was saying here is that they needed to know the law. The king needed to lead knowing the law and have a copy of it, to read it, to use it. From Psalm 119, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Knowing God's word, letting it reign in your heart. It's hard to, and not everybody, because there are people who knows things that they shouldn't do and do it anyway. Anybody ever do that? All of it. Yeah. We all do that. But if we hide God's word in our heart, if we know he loves us, if we know he died for us, if he knows that we need to love others as we love ourselves, then we're going to keep that in our heart. It's going to help to keep us from going against that. And yet, we still might and probably will. From James chapter 1, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Part of being a disciple is not only learning and inquiring and trying to figure it out, but it's doing it, doing the word. There was a elderly guy at Grove City for the longest time, and he'd sit right over there, about where Angie's sitting, and at Grove City though, and you would be teaching a class, and he'd say, well, what do you think about what it says here? He'd follow the change references in his Bible, and always trying to argue with whatever it was, And finally, one day, his wife elbowed him really hard. She said, leave him alone. But what the point was to do what you say. Do what you say. I don't think he was meaning anything. I think he would just find something that struck him, and then he'd throw it out there, seemingly trying to derail your train of thought. But do not listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Live it in your heart. In Luke chapter 6, it says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck that house and it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who built a house on the ground without foundation. The moment that torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." So Jesus wants us to learn from him. He wants us to know his word and have it on our hearts. It's not to be a burden. It was not given to us to be a burden, but to be a guide and a way to love and show others. The incentives of this is, "For I am gentle and you shall find rest, and my load is light." Jesus' yoke was easy because it was useful, it was manageable, and it was serviceable. It fills the need. It fits. It fits what Jesus said. But the world's yoke is different. Our own sinful nature and Satan tries to lead us with proud and dominating and haughty ways. We see that mixed in our world. We see that mixed in our very close relationships sometimes. We find those people who are very loud and very haughty and very proud. And they are not always following Christ. They're not always Christ-like. What does it mean to be under Christ's yoke? One is to take his yoke, means to submit to his person as the one who is meek and gentle. I'm not always a meek and gentle person. I always liked the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, the Bugs Bunny version of it because it was shorter. But I always liked that because it showed how most of us are in life. Can be very kind, very good, and then very evil. And we all have some kind of mix of that in our life. I've seen the kindest people not be very kind and make a difference in, you know, in their relationships and in who they are. But Jesus wants us to be yoked with him because he is meek and he is gentle. And when we follow that, we can be like that. And you'll see that in the illustration in just a second. It means to pull yourself under his leading and join together with him. It's not about being a Lone Ranger Christian. It's not about being out there by yourself. It's being tied to him. That's what makes us different. It's not because I'm a great person, she's a great person, or she has these great eloquent words. It's because we're tied to him. It's because we are yoked with Jesus. He is our yoke mate. An illustration I wanted to read to you, it says that there's it's an illustration of two oxen, one huge and one very small. There was an old farmer plowing a team of oxen. As I saw this team, I was somewhat amazed, for one was a huge ox and the other was a very small bullock. And the ox towered over the little bullock that was sharing the work with him. I was amazed and perplexed to see a farmer trying to plow with two such unequal animals in a yoke, in the yoke, and commented on the inequality to the man with whom I was riding. He stopped the car and he said, "I want you to notice something. See the way that those traces are hooked to the yoke. You will observe that the large ox, is pulling all the weight, and the little bullock is being broken into the yoke, and he's not actually pulling any weight." My mind instinctively came to the passage of Scripture where the Lord says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am." And in the normal yoking, the load is equally distributed between the two, and they are yoked together. But when they are yoked with Jesus Christ, he bears the load, and we are yoked to him to share in the joy and the accomplishment of the labor, but without the burden of the yoke. I was going to type that up there so you could read it and follow along. Hopefully you followed along and seen the picture of the larger ox, the smaller bullock, and the larger ox leading and guiding the way for the younger, showing him the way, mentoring, if you will, discipling, and showing that picture. So rest. How do we submit to that Savior's yoke? The answer is found in the command, "Learn from me." be like Jesus. Have his word in your heart. Know what he wants and know his desire. So many times, again, we look at all the laws and the rules and we get lost in that picture of what God really wants us to do and who he wants us to be. He is calling us to serve, but we work and serve in the strength in which he gives. You get that? He's calling us to serve, but he wants us to do it in the strength that he gives us. He's always there beside us pulling the weight, and if we yield our lives to him, the only time the load becomes overbearing is when we try to take over and do the pulling or handle the load by ourselves. Remember the foot? Remember the foot? Pulling it back too bad hard on myself, causing myself pain. Many of us call ourselves disciples, but do we have the right to do that? We have responded to him as our Savior. We have come to him, but when he seeks to slip the yoke around our necks to join him, well, we resist, or we back off, or we refuse to truly listen and submit to his word and acknowledge to his authority. As disciples, I believe that happens to us from time to time. We refuse to trust in his gentleness and goodness, and we look at the yoke and think that it's not fit, when in reality it was designed perfectly for us. The last illustration I want to bring before you tonight is another one from a yoke situation. It says, back on the ranch where I grow up, my dad and I used to break horses to ride, and then we would train them for various tasks according to their abilities and breeding. Always the first thing we do was to get their trust. We then trained them to rein, to turn and stop on a dime, to back up, to follow a calf, and stand quietly and poised in a chute ready to launch after a calf, etc. Some we trained as cutting horses, and some we trained as roping horses. But the first was the process of gently caring for them. We brushed them, we trimmed their hooves, we fed them, we halter broke them, and before we could lead them from one place to another. We would often tie the younger horse to an older horse, and the stronger horse would lead it around the corral. Then, when large enough to carry a rider, we would step up into the saddle while the young horse was tied close to the saddle of the horn of the larger horse. Sometimes, because the horse was so trusted us, this last step wasn't even necessary. Then came the process of teaching the horse to respond to the reins and other cues. The young horses didn't like the new conditions at first. It scared them, and they liked their freedom. But in time, through the gentleness of the trainer who loved the horse, and through the example of the older horse, they became trained to learn what they did. They became trained and learned to love what they did. It was not burdensome. They often had to work hard and would work up a sweat, but they loved it. It was a yoke fitted for their abilities and their natural instincts. So the Savior promised us, "For my yoke is easy and my load is light. It is tailor-made for each of us, and furthermore, he was always there to bear the burden with us." As we conclude this lesson for today, I hope that you understand that because of God's leading and because of our relationship with him, we can rest. We can relax. We can not be burdened with the cares of the world, cannot be burdened with the cares that are loaded upon us from different others, but that if we keep in prayer, if we engage ourselves with prayer, if we worship, if we have communion, if we find worship a beautiful experience because we are worshiping the one we love, if we disciple ourselves daily. That discipleship is a daily thing, as we talked about, keeping that word in our heart. And hope mostly, most days of our discipleships will be cheerful and glad, walking in the Christian way, knowing that the strength and grace is given to bear the cost. It's costly being a Christian. It's costly to follow Christ. It costs Christ his life. For us, as we give our lives to him, it costs us lots of things that could be given to us in this world. Most of all, it's about a daily embracing of a yoke and a burden the yoke and the burden of Jesus, whose yoke is easy and his burden is light, and who gives the gift of rest to the very center of our lives through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God gives us the strength that we need. A yoke sounds like a hard thing, but when you think about who you're yoked to, it makes all the difference in the world. God is our creator, the one who loves us more than anything else. And by being yoked to him, coming to him, as we said in the beginning, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes we feel like we got to do it all ourselves. And sometimes we never get that chance to rest. We went to a Young Life camp one time, and you're on a bus for 36 hours, and you roll into the camp, and we walked over, it was in New York, and we walked over to a pool that they had by the beach, and there was these two people who would kind of lead us through the week, and they were sitting, there was like a fountain, water squirting over them, and they had like iced teas or something in very fancy glasses, and they were telling everybody, you look so stressed. Being on a bus for 36 hours with teenagers, yes, stress. But as they went through the conversation, as we went through the week, they helped you realize that you don't have to be stressed. As a Christian, we don't have to be stressed. We are called and yoked to Jesus Christ, so that our lives can be different, so we can face the world and the challenges in a different way, and that we can be loving, and that we can be compassionate, and we can be kind, and we can make a difference in the world around us. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Jesus calls to you, and I hope that you accept his call as together we stand and sing.